Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I'm going to do my best to preach the Bible this morning so you have understanding. It's the second part of a two-part message. Last Sunday morning, I preached on being a great church. You remember some of that message, I trust. Great church has great God, and He is the sole source of greatness. A great church has great doctrine, preaches the Bible, whole counsel of the Word of God. A great church has great power, that being Holy Spirit power. A great church has great desire, the Great Commission, wanting to reach the world for Christ. Those are great churches. And we desire to be a great church from heaven's perspective. Not in man's view, but in God's view. And we want to see souls saved. I believe our best days are yet in front of us. The book of Acts is the acts of the Holy Spirit in the church of Jesus Christ, in this church age in which we live. And I believe that the greatest chapters have yet to be written, are in the process of being written for the Philadelphia church that desires to serve God. Acts in chapter 1, I'll just do a little bit of summarizing here this morning so we're all on the same page. They're told in the Gospel of Luke that Jesus said, I will baptize you with fire. In chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke, in verse 49, said you tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And that first century power that the early church had is the same power that the 21st century church is to have in the day and age in which we are living. God is alive. We serve a resurrected Savior, a living God. And what they preached in the book of Acts is a living Savior, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And our God's alive. That's why I'm in the ministry. That's why I've given my life to this, small sacrifice on my part, given my life to this, because we serve a living God, and the calling of God is on my hand, on my life, and on this church, and we've got a work to do here. In the book of Acts in chapter 2, we read of the birthday of the church. Prior to this, the crucifixion of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, and the ascension of Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And you read on in chapter 2, and we read that 15 different languages from Persia to Rome were preached on that day, and thousands came to Christ. 3,000 came to Christ, and the church was born. That's the birthday of the church. We're carrying the mail and carrying on yet today. Would you stand with me, please, as I open in prayer? You need to know this. We're just getting started. If the Lord tarries 20 years, we've got time to reach this whole county for Christ. If the trumpet sounds, I'll end the message with that this morning, we may have minutes, perhaps hours, maybe days. We know it will be soon, and we are just getting started. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. And the book of chapters 2 and chapter 3, we read of the seven churches of Asia Minor. The Philadelphia church is that church that is in operation today, that preaches the word of God, that is evangelistic. They have a door open and no man closes it. That is the church of the great missionary movement, and they are going to be delivered from the wrath to come, the scripture says. Not going to be going through the tribulation, going to be raptured up by way of the rapture of the church. That's the church of Jesus Christ. The church at Laodicea, if you remember in the book of Revelation and chapter 3, goes through the tribulation because the church at Laodicea is made up of unbelievers, people that they have a name that lives, yet they are dead. They think they're rich, and yet they're poor. They're spiritual paupers, and they're unsaved. They're not going to be raptured out of this world. Jesus, in Revelation in chapter 3, he says he's on the door of the church knocking, and he wants to come into that church. You understand? He's outside that church. And he said, if any man will open the door, I'll come in unto him. That's the kind of God we serve. He's a merciful God. He'll save anybody that will repent of their sin. Anybody that reaches out and say with their heart and cries unto God, asking for Jesus to be their personal Savior. He'll save them. The 50 people that responded at the sportsman's dinner that got saved, they're born again. If they genuinely prayed in their heart, if it was a cry from their heart, they were born again. Now it's up to us to get them in church, to help them to grow, so that they'll be something, because they're going to heaven. God also wants everybody around them to go to heaven. But they'll be the only one going to heaven if they never get really with it and get in the New Testament local church, because they'll not be telling anybody about Jesus. That's how that works. The lady that was saved last Sunday morning here in our morning service, she called from her heart, asked Jesus to save her, she's born again. She's part of the family of God. What a wonderful thing that is. The destiny of the church. There are five things yet to happen. I'm going to get it in. I got my secondary watch because my other watch quit. I've got 20 minutes to get it in, and I'm going to get it in right now. So we're not going to tarry with any of these events. But these are things yet to happen for the church, for those who are born again. Number one, the church will be caught up. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Skip that. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15. I'm going to keep this as concise as I can. I'm going to try not to get on rabbit trails. You pray for me. Would you do that? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I've got to find the right book now. And verse 51. The next thing to happen, five things yet to happen to the church, is we're going to be raptured. We're going to be rescued. We're going to be taken home to glory. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what it says in Thessalonians. The dead in Christ shall be raised first, and we which are alive and remain on the earth shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Go back on that. The trumpet of God sounds. The church is called home. We'll be rescued. We'll be raptured. That means seized. That's a Latin word. It means seized. We're taken from this earth. We're going to be rescued from this day of sin in which we live. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Go to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also will sleep in Jesus, which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Yes, that day is coming when the trumpet is going to sound. It's called the rapture of the church. And we'll be called home. We'll be rescued. We'll be raptured. We all think about, you know, often we talk about how bad things are getting in the world and how this generation how things have changed, and it's a downhill, slippery slope. And we live in Sodom in the United States of America today. Stay faithful, my brother and my sister. Hold to the word of God. One day the trumpet's going to sound and we'll be caught out of it. We'll be rescued. Rescued. We'll meet the Lord in the air. Comfort one another with these words. The destiny of the church. Right now, we're to occupy. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Right now, we're to be New Testament Christians in a world of darkness, carrying the light, a lighthouse, if you will, telling others how to get saved. One beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. We're to be telling the world, come on to Jesus. He's the answer. God, he'll forgive you of your sins. He'll give you eternal life. He'll change your life. He'll indwell you as a believer. He'll lead you and he'll teach you, and you'll be led and fed by the hand of God. But in this world, it's a battle. And then the rapture. And I'm telling you, we're right at the end of the last days. That's not a doomsday preaching. That's victory preaching. We're going to be called home. It's going to happen very soon. The event will take place where millions will be missing from this planet. There'll be all kinds of reasons the Antichrist and his followers will come up with for the reason for people missing. The reason is the church is called home. In the meantime, Don't lay down your sword. In the meantime, keep preaching the gospel. Hold to the truth. The church is going to be caught up. Destiny of the church. That's going to be homecoming day. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. Destiny of the church. The judgment seat of Christ. Where the church, that's homecoming day. And then there's a solemn day when we are called before our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the church will be examined. Individuals. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God for the body, whatever we've done, whether it be good or bad. That wasn't an exact King James quote, but that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. And that's what the verse says. Every one of us. So then every one of us should give an account of himself to God. That's Romans in chapter 14. As believers, you see, it isn't just pleasing Pastor Rader. I got feet of clay and you can fool me easy. I don't even know what your motives are. But you'll never fool God. And all of our works, as Christians, we're saved by grace, but our works will pass through judgment fires. It's called the Bema Seat of Christ, the judgment seat of Christ. This is the destiny of the church. The rapture, that's homecoming day. That's victory. That is victory day. The judgment seat, that's a solemn day. One day my name will be called. And I don't know exactly how it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, and it tells us the foundation is Jesus Christ. He's our Savior. He's the one that saved us. We're saved by grace. And then our works are going to pass through judgment fires, and the wood and the hay and stubble, they'll be all burnt up. Wait a minute. They're good works and they're there? Yeah, and they'll be all burnt up. Because it's not just what you did, it's why you did what you did. It's motive. A lot of people serve God for self-gain. No reward in that. Jesus said, you receive your reward of men. There's your reward. You work hard for that pat in the back. You want everybody to know what you're doing. Wonderful. You got a good reward here on earth. But it's not the reward that lasts. Examination day. 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, you're probably already there. And verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. And if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. We're saved by grace. We're saved by Jesus Christ and the finished work of Calvary. My Bible tells me there'll be people in the church at the Bema Seat of Christ, at the judgment seat of Christ, when their life is reviewed, it was all wood, hay, and stubble, and they get no reward. They get nothing. But the gold, the silver, and the precious stones, they're rewarded. And you just kind of mark that down and set it aside. We're going to close the message with that. You say, well, what am I going to do with that reward? I'm going to tell you here in just a moment. And by the way, there are degrees in heaven. Your reward is in heaven. You'll be rewarded according to your faithfulness here on this earth. It's amazing what Jesus taught concerning that in the parables. And there are a lot of people saved, I'll use an Old Testament term, by the skin of their teeth. Glory to God, saved, but not doing anything for God. I wonder if that describes you. It'll be a solemn day. Destiny of the church. Go to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2. And some of you might even want to go there. 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 2. We've got the rapture where the church is caught up. Destiny of the church. The judgment seat where the church is examined. One's a great victory day, a homecoming day. Another day is a solemn day. And then we have the church's big day, the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's celebration day. Looking forward to that day. The judgment seat is behind us. Now we're going to celebrate. It tells us in 2 Corinthians in chapter 11 and verse 2, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you, he's talking to the church, I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. There's a day where the church will be presented to Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, that he may present it, the church, to himself, a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Some of you are in Revelation 19. Let me get over there real quickly. Revelation and chapter 19. The day is coming. This is the marriage supper of the Lamb. The smoke has been settled here on this earth. Things are, the church is settled. We are raptured. We're here working right now. We're here battling right now. The trumpet sounds. The church is raptured off of this planet. Then in the heavenlies, that's celebration day. That is victory day. Then in the heavens, the church of Jesus Christ, we give an account to God. What we did with his son, Jesus Christ. And we'll be rewarded accordingly. There'll be tears there. There'll be shame there. There'll be disappointment there. All of us. That all of us, there's got to be some degree of shame because we all have feet of clay. That day I am not looking forward to, but that day will pass. And then the next event that happens to the church is the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, I can think of other events I'm not going to preach after the marriage supper, like Armageddon. We'll be involved in that, but that's after the marriage supper. Revelation in chapter 19, verse 1, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Babylon has fallen. If you know anything about the tribulation, there's rejoicing in heaven. There really is an amen meter in heaven. There really is when souls get saved. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth and with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. I can't wait for that day. You understand, this is the church's big day. Anybody that's born again, man, anybody that's doing their best to serve, anybody that's born again, number one, but this is the church's big day. The church, it's the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Lamb of of Judah, the tribe of Judah, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is none other than Jesus Christ. And the church is presented to Christ. We're going to read it here in the next two verses. And there's a voice, all of heaven rejoices. It sounds like thunder. It sounds like many waters. You ever been near a thundering waterfall? How everything else just gets overwhelmed and you can't hear anything? People's mouths are moving, but you can't hear what they're saying because it's so loud. That'll be that day. That will be that day. Verse 6 says, and I heard as it were, I'm sorry, verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come and his wife hath made herself ready. There's a lot of preaching there, and I can't get too detailed in this, but we were made ready at the Bema Seat of Christ. Now, we were ready, made ready for heaven and became children of God the day we got born again. The Bema Seat of Christ. Now, yeah, we receive our glorified bodies at the rapture. Then the Bema Seat of Christ, we receive our rewards. We have been made ready. And so some of our own, you got to understand the language here. Those of you that are a little older in the faith, you'll understand what I'm saying. She's clothed in fine linen, which is the righteousness of the saints. Where'd that come from? The Bema Seat of Christ. It's what we did for God. It's a great day. It's a celebration day. If you received any rewards at the Bema Seat, you've got them to present to Jesus Christ. And a marriage here in this world, in this earth, in the American culture, and the way things are, it's the bride that's the big deal, right? Here comes the bride, right? It's the bride. Every eye's on the bride. This day, it'll be the Lamb. It'll be Jesus. The church hath made herself ready. She's prepared to be presented. And verse 7 again, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. It was given to her, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints, rewards. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. There's not a lot said about the marriage supper of the Lamb, but I know that day is coming when the church, right now we're ugly. Man, right now we still have feet of clay and we still live in a sin-cursed world. And I still got that old Adamic nature that even though I got born again, I still got the old Tim Raider in me, and that fight is going on all of the time. And the battle is going on right now, but God is going to rescue us. The Son of God is going to come for his church. He'll deal with the world after we're gone. He'll deal with Israel after we're gone and call Israel and the world to Christ as well. But many of them are going to reject. So he rescues his church. The trumpet sounds. We're caught on home to glory. We stand before God at the Bema seat of Christ. We receive our rewards. Don't be empty-handed. Please don't be empty-handed. Then there's the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are presented to Christ. That's a big deal. Going to be great rejoicing. Old Testament saints will be there. Tribulation saints will be there. And they're going to longingly look and say, man, I wish I was part of the church. You understand how privileged we are? Jew and Gentile, one in Christ. Male and female. It's all of grace. God opened the door and said, my son has paid for your sin. If you call upon him with your heart, you can be part of my church. And I'll clean you up. And I'll make you clean. And one day the church is presented without spot or wrinkle. Going to be a great day. Your husband won't be a sinner anymore. You won't even recognize him. He'll have changed so immensely. There's a great day coming. Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Don't have time to read all of this. But the church is going to reign during the thousand-year reign, the millennial kingdom. Verse 2, you see 1,000 years. Verse 3, you see 1,000 years should be fulfilled. Verse 4, you see, again, 1,000 years right at the end of the verse. Verse 5, 1,000 years. Verse 6, 1,000 years. That's the millennial kingdom. We will rule and reign as priests and kings, the Bible says. Undeserving, but we inherit all things. We are children of God, Romans chapter 8. And what Christ has, we get. We'll never be God. We'll never be deity. But we're all cleaned up at this point. And according to our faithfulness, and Jesus made a big thing about this, many of the parables were concerning this. We will rule and reign according to our faithfulness. Now listen, you might have ill feelings toward a brother or a sister that isn't as spiritual as you are, and they don't do as much as you are. You have no right to judge that person. Here's the deal. They may be limited even in their IQ. Maybe they don't have as much reasoning power as you. Maybe they're not able to grasp as much of the Word of God as you can. But to whom much is given, much is required. As a child of God, Tim Rader's got to be faithful with what God has given Tim Rader, and I'm all in. And that's the way I got to be. And it's a battle every day that I be all in. And I surrender to God. That's what you have to do. And some people are rebels. I understand that. That's between them and God, right? That's the good thing. The church will be made clean, will be presented to him, and then will rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of David right here in this world. The New Jerusalem will hover above the earth in which we live. We'll come. That's our home. In my Father's house are many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you. We'll go to and fro, and we'll have responsibility, and we'll have purpose, and we'll rule and reign according to how faithful we were on God here in our lifetime as a church, as an individual, being part of the church. See, you can hoard everything you have right now, and you can build walls around yourself and really not be in ministry. That's it, man. You got it. That's going to be your life. But for the child of God, we read in Sunday school and studied this, that walks in the light, we have fellowship with the Father. And God, you will be rewarded accordingly. The church will reign. And the church's destiny. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. I'll close this. This is the last point. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. By the way, when the church reigns, that's a great day. That's our honeymoon. 1,000 years. Promised to Christ, espoused and presented to him. Now we have our glorified bodies. No more sin curse. It'd be a wonderful time. Be able to eat double cheese pepperoni pizza every Friday night and never put on another calorie. Not a one, man. It's going to be a great time. Why is it you take a whole week and lose 3 pounds and you go on an eating binge one day and you get it all back? I don't understand that. It's part of the sin curse. It is. But the day is coming. We'll have our glorified bodies. And we will eat in those glorified bodies. We find that in the scripture, right? And I look forward to that. But the church's destiny, our forever future, our forever day. Chapter 2 of Ephesians, verse 7, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 3 and verse 21. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Eternal glory. Here's the deal. Remember those fairy tales that used to get read? And they all lived happily ever after. That's true for the church. Not the world. Not the unsaved. And we're not better than they are. We recognize that. Saved by grace. By the way, if you're here this morning and you are not born again, this preacher is no different than you. I am no better than you. I'm a sinner. The difference is I'm a sinner saved by grace. I understand Jesus died on the cross, shed his blood that I might have eternal life. And then he rose again on the third day. And he said, come unto me. He said, come unto me. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Revelation in chapter 21. Last scripture we look at this morning. I promise, unless God leads me to another verse. It's forever. There's a lot to read here. Verse 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues and talked with me, saying, come hither and I'll show thee the bride. That's us. The Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. He's showing John this. This is being revealed to John. This is eternity, future eternity. Takes me to a high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like as a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a great wall, great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east 3 gates, and on the north 3 gates, and on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square. And the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof and 144 cubits according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall was as of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like as unto clear glass. And it goes on and gives more description here. You understand, every child of God, everyone ever born again, and we had their funeral in this church or at the funeral home or at a graveside, when they left this world, if they were born again, they were blood bought, they belong to Jesus Christ, they are right now in that city. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. He said, man, don't be concerned. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's the church dwelling in the new Jerusalem. The best truly is yet to come. Once we get there, we'd never want to come back. I guarantee that. I know what the scripture says about heaven. The church has a wonderful and glorious destiny. And they all lived happily ever after. You say, what if I sin? You won't. The sin curse is over. You'll have your glorified body. When we see him, we'll know him and we will like him, it says in 1 John in chapter 3. No more sin. No more decaying, decrepit body wearing out. And great days are coming. The church's destiny.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.